Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. On Wednesday, Buy and Build is having an auction featuring cabinet sets, sinks, fixtures, carpeting, hardwood, flooring, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. Good morning. How was the weekend?
It was good. How about yours?
It was good.
I saw that you and the missus had a nice Friday night.
We mimicked you and Sarah.
Very great.
You had told me that the two of you are going to sit and watch the game. Okay. And so I wanted to watch some of the NCAA tournament games. So we set up a monitor, big one.
I saw that.
We had the TV behind us.
Good effort.
For the NCAA game.
Nice job.
And it really wasn't worth setting it up after watching the Nuggets play against the Timberwolves.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Yeah.
And you really wished, and I know that we'll take the weekend in totality and we talk about what has happened most recently, because it's always about, don't tell me about what happened then. Tell me about what's happening in your next game or your most recent game. I get that. But that was a very disappointing effort on Friday night. It left me kind of shaking my head a little bit.
I see it very differently than you do. I am not buying the "we just didn't come ready to play" routine. If this was another team, that's one thing. Minnesota Timberwolves are a really good basketball team. A really tough matchup for the Nuggets. And to come out, and honestly, I'm not going to say Michael Malone used an excuse, because I like Michael Malone a lot. That's a bunch of BS. They lost because they lost to a better team.
Yeah.
Period. I don't want to hear the effort argument. If it's a bad team, that's one thing. We've seen them fall behind, and then they come back. They were never in it.
No. Minnesota was a better team.
Minnesota might be a better team.
Yeah, they were a better team certainly that
day. So to have the convenient excuse, well, we just didn't come out with enough effort. It's not going to wash with that particular team, in which on that night the Nuggets got owned. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Get some tonight in Denver, Longmont, Lions, and Estes Park.
So the Avs clinch a playoff spot, big win over Nashville. I was at that game, and I think they're still scoring in that thing. Nuggets clinch a playoff spot. They beat the Cavaliers yesterday. Jamal Murray missed his fifth consecutive game. Certainly didn't need him. Jokic is, his triple-double is just eye-popping. 26 points, 18 rebounds, 16 assists. The Nuggets as a team, eye-popping. 64% of their three-pointers, hitting 21 of 32. After what happened on Friday against Minnesota, I hate to use the word surprised with the Nuggets, because they are the defending champs, and I get it. Did you see a 29-point blowout coming?
I'm less...
And the Cavs are a pretty good basketball team.
I'm less surprised by that than I was the lack of a strong effort and focus in the game Friday against Minnesota. That surprised me more. I really thought that they would play at a high level against the Timberwolves. If you hit 21 three-pointers, you're going to win a game by a lot of points. They were plus 23 in rebounds. They did turn it over 16 times, so the handle wasn't as solid as it could be, but you can't quibble with 130 points. So, I figured that they would win. Margin of winning, I'm not as concerned with, but they played extremely well, which is a little, isn't that, you're glad on one hand that they did play well. You're glad that Nikola Jokic took ownership of the team and that he was really involved with that game, according to Michael Malone, and into it in the huddles, into it with guys, this, that, and the other thing. But I can't get over the whole Friday night thing with
Minnesota. Okay, let's get into that then.
Okay.
Because clearly you and I feel very differently. Let's start with this. Which team has the better bench? I don't even think it's close. Which team has a better bench? As I'm setting you up, I'll just come out and say it. Minnesota's bench is better. They're better. They are better. They're better, period. As far as front line goes, Naz Reid can hit threes. And we talked about this before the game. Defensively, they are as locked down as you were going to get when Gobert and Naz Reid are on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
No one should have been surprised. It's not like the Timberwolves haven't given the Nuggets a game this year. They had already beaten them.
Oh, I think you could be surprised by the way that they won the game.
I was stunned.
Yeah, that was stunning.
Okay, I was stunned by the margin.
Right.
I was not stunned that the Timberwolves won at all. And this is my favorite, okay? But let's be fair. I'll ask you. If the Nuggets, and by the way, I'm not upset at the Nuggets. I'm just saying the level of shock that Minnesota could actually play on the same floor as the Nuggets from some people.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Is outrageously naive. With that, you think the Nuggets have a better chance to win with Jamal Murray. You think they win with Jamal Murray?
On Friday night, no.
I think they have a very good chance of winning that game with Jamal Murray.
I respectfully disagree.
But the argument will be, if the Nuggets had Jamal Murray, it's a different game.
Yeah.
And this is my answer. Are we forgetting that Karl Anthony Towns didn't play either?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is such a convenient excuse to forget that a multiple all-star,
mm-hmm.
all-NBA guy at times, hasn't played in a while for the Timberwolves. But we didn't have Jamal Murray. They didn't have Kat. Well, what does it look like if Kat's on the floor? They are not fully loaded, and they may not be fully loaded going into the playoffs. The Nuggets at least have that opportunity. But we didn't have Jamal. They didn't have Kat.
I think it's a 50-50. That series to me is a 50-50.
But, right. But I don't think that Nuggets fans want to believe that this is potentially a 50-50 matchup.
Well, who cares? I mean, that doesn't matter. They got to play the games. It makes no difference what the fans think. It just doesn't make any difference.
I guess when Michael Malone comes out and says we weren't ready to play, not that I care who gets the credit.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. That is completely different. Discounting the way that they got manhandled. It really is. Well, if we would have come ready to play, it would have been a different type of game. Maybe even win. I think what happens is when you say something like that, you are making excuses for yourself and maybe not seeing the reality of the truth.
No, I think Michael Malone's pretty deeply rooted in the truth. I don't know how you can come away from that game, and we both watched it. You can't come away with that game without any feeling other than the Timberwolves are real, the Timberwolves are a problem,
yeah,
and they are going to be a problem in this postseason. That's not to say that
they're going to be a problem for the next 5 years.
Exactly.
Plus.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what? Great. Because the Nuggets are a problem, too. You got to account for the Nuggets.
Okay. You like to play pickleball, right?
Yes.
And you played at a competitive level, certainly not at the level where you're getting prize money.
No, my God, no.
Okay.
No.
With that, how would you like to play a game of pickleball and you win, and then your opponent says, I really didn't try? Kind of discounts how well. No, it kind of.
I would just say, well, I kicked your ass one way or the other.
I understand that.
Register with me.
But there's no accountability when you say we didn't come out ready to play.
No, really? Are you gonna attach that to Michael Malone? Accountability?
I'm saying Michael Malone has a ton of accountability.
Right.
When you say we weren't ready to play. You dismiss and gloss over.
Hmm.
Maybe they're a really good basketball team. maybe they are a really tough matchup. You're saying, well, but if we did come ready to play, it would have been different.
But don't people have eyes? Can't you just watch the game, listen to the game, and say...
Did they look unready to play?
No.
In what way did they look unready to play?
I don't care about that as much as I care about how can you watch a game, that game in particular, and say anything other than Minnesota's a problem. Minnesota is a problem.
I agree. And that's what I think Michael Malone should have said.
All right.
They're a really tough matchup for us, and they worked us over. Instead of saying, well, we didn't come ready to play because we didn't come ready to play is code for if we did, had we come ready to play, well, you would have seen what you saw last night against Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I wouldn't go that far, but that's okay. I mean, the Nuggets are capable.
Yes.
The Nuggets are the defending champions. They are capable, and they will be capable during these playoffs. Now, there are two teams that, to me, give warning signs. Minnesota and Phoenix are the two teams that have good matchups, even favorable matchups on occasion, depending on personnel groupings and availability. And
see, I don't see Phoenix as much of a matchup as Minnesota, and here's why.
I didn't say that. I said Minnesota's the best matchup, but Phoenix is the next one. Because Phoenix has size, scoring. They have in Nurkic, they have a guy that can physically at least be on the court with Nikola Jokic and can be physical. I don't think there's another team that has a good matchup with the Nuggets. And I'm not even saying that Phoenix has a good matchup, but they have a better matchup. Those are the two teams, I think. One of those two teams will give the Nuggets trouble in the postseason or worse, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
You and I talked about this going into the game. Jokic has to come out in this game and be aggressive offensively. So, he didn't come out aggressive offensively, which he did not, or was it his wrist?
I think that any time that you have a performance like that, you've got to give credit to who,
right?
Who did? I mean,
right.
So, I mean, so if you're a fan, you don't need to take all of your cues from a head coach, a player, just trust your eyes. What'd you see? What you saw in that game was a team that can kick your ass.
Right.
That's a problem. That's a problem. Now, we all know everything is heightened in the playoffs. Everyone should understand that. What's true in the end of March is not necessarily true at the end of April. But the fact of the matter is, Minnesota was the best team, and there really wasn't even a comparison on Friday night.
This playoff series, if they play, and I hope they do, I'm going to use your term. This is going to be a rock fight.
Oh, my God. It'd be fantastic.
Phoenix is not going to be a rock fight. Phoenix doesn't play very good defense. Minnesota does.
Yeah. Phoenix is a different kind of challenge.
They're a different type of challenge.
That's a high-octane challenge.
They're a different type of challenge, but they still don't have a point guard, and that's been a problem for them for most of the season. They have Kevin Durant.
Yeah, they've beaten the Nuggets twice on the Nuggets' home court. That's a problem. That's another thing where you got to look at who did it and say, okay, I mean, do you fear the Clippers? The Kings, maybe a little bit. I mean, the Kings have had some success, but probably not too much.
All right, coming up after the break, ESPN senior NFL writer Mike Clay has been ranking rosters for years. When I looked at it, I was like, wow, he really has the Broncos roster that low?
Ooh,
that's next. When I was stressed out.
A certain smell will take me back.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. On Wednesday, Buy and Build is having an auction featuring cabinet sets, sinks, fixtures, carpeting, hardwood flooring, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. In the meantime, spring is here. I'm looking to do a little spring cleaning, a little remodeling. How about some new windows? How about some high-efficiency windows? How about some new siding so you have better curb appeal? Highly recommend you go to Paramount Siding and Windows. I've worked with them in the past, and the thing that I love most about them is this, that they don't sell you something you don't need. I had a couple of windows. I thought they needed to be replaced. As it turns out, it needed a small fix. They could have very easily sold me a couple of windows that I didn't need. Instead, Scott actually came out and said, no, it's just a little problem right here. And I'm like, wow. Also, how many companies come out to do a small project?
Right.
Almost none. I think there are some companies out there, I'm sure, that market themselves as we do small projects because the other big companies don't want to do that. Paramount Siding and Windows, they do it all. Go to ParamountSidingandWindows.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Paramount Siding and Windows. Paramount Siding and Windows, it's quality in everything they do. Find them at ParamountSidingandWindows.com.
ESPN senior NFL writer Mike Clay has been ranking rosters for years. He has the Broncos roster ranked 31st out of 32 teams. Now, last year, he had the Broncos ranked 11th.
Mm.
That was a little off. 2022, he had them ranked as high as 10.
Well, I wouldn't be too concerned about the 31 because if he was serious with the Nathaniel Hackett Broncos at number 10, something is wrong with the equation.
Well, that's before the season, though. He didn't know how Hackett was going to be as a coach. The Broncos had just gotten Russell Wilson.
The roster's better than 31. I may be 29.
When
we're talking rankings, that's kind of what it is. It's like, do I think it's the worst roster in the NFL? No. The next worst? No, probably not. However, they have no quarterback.
Right.
With all due respect to Jarrett Stidham.
I think that's why they were ranked 10th, because they finally got a quarterback.
Right. And then...
or thought they had one.
And they lost their defensive compass, right? In Justin Simmons.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's a part of me that totally gets it, but I don't mind their defensive roster. I think their defensive roster is capable. I do. Offensively... we won't know anything until they can figure out quarterback, and they're not there yet.
Okay, look, just for fun, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest.
Okay.
We're going to take quarterback completely out of the equation.
Well, we don't have one.
Because right now, that's probably about a 3.
Yes.
Okay.
I would agree.
Wide receiver room. And let's just quick rapid fire this, and then we can go into more detail.
Okay, 6.
Tight ends.
Oh. 3.
Running backs.
5.
Okay. Offensive line.
7.
I'd go the highest with that too. Defensive line.
5.
Inside linebackers.
6.
Outside linebackers.
6.
Cornerback.
6.
Safety. 4.
Yeah, maybe 5. I was going to go 5, but yep.
You can't go 5. Can I tell you why you can't go 5?
Well, I can go 5, you can tell me why I can't. Go ahead.
Okay. Who's the second safety on this team?
The kid from Miami.
Who was okay. at Miami.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they'll be okay at safety. Now, you can't replace leadership. You know, I mean, someone else is going to have to take that mantle. But
overall, I would say if you had to grade it out,
I don't mind Locke, and I think they've got some potential at safety. I think I'm okay.
Yeah, potential is code for you haven't done it. And potential is also code for if he could stay healthy.
Well, you love PJ Locke and you love Caden Stearns. So I don't, let's I don't, go. Come no, on, no, man. No.
I love Caden Stearns when he's healthy.
Yeah.
I loved a guy who used to play for the Cleveland Indians back in the mid-1990s. His name was Herbert Perry. The problem is Herbert Perry could never stay healthy.
Well, come on, Herb.
Herbert Perry is a really good player. Could never stay healthy.
No.
So I'm not going to factor in health. I'm going to factor in what he's done.
And that's fair. That's fair.
Basically, if you had to average it all out, you gave it a 5, probably overall with this roster.
Yeah, 5 to 6, maybe. I mean.
And then at quarterback, the problem is with the most important position, if it's really weak, it drags everything else
Well,
down.
Of course, and that's why it's 31.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I mean, and I don't know. I mean.
They're not, they don't have a position group. That is, I don't believe they have a position group. Maybe
the offensive line.
Exactly.
Maybe. That's it.
There isn't a position group on the defense that as an offensive coordinator, you go, man, we got a game plan for that.
No, there isn't. There's one position, and that's about it. But I don't think that you can take it for granted either. I think that you've got to play against them.
Right.
I mean, I think it's a capable defense.
Okay. Now, let's go to something else.
So
we talked about the all 22.
Mm-hmm.
How about depth? Give me a grade on that.
4.
I think you're being generously high on that. Although I'd probably go with a 3, which is not much of a difference. The point is, I will say this for sure. The guy that Sean Payton brought in to oversee, for lack of a better phrase, the health department mm-hmm. of the team, guy by the name, I think his name is Bo.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Right.
Is it Bo? I'm not even.
No, I just.
We'll call him Bo. Because I believe his name is Bo.
No, it is.
Yeah. With that, he did a great job of making sure guys stay healthy.
Yep.
Now, in all fairness, from what I have been told, there were guys who had soft tissue injuries, and it really wasn't listed as soft tissue injuries. Like a hip problem.
Yeah.
It was listed as a hip, but it was really a soft tissue injury.
Yeah.
So they're kind of fudging the numbers there a little bit. With that, Sean Payton really does believe what I'm about to say. He believes they're going to be this healthy next year. He really does. In his heart of hearts, he believes they will remain this healthy with soft tissue injuries. To which I say the law of averages says you won't.
The law of averages certainly says
that. I hope Sean is right. But that's why I bring up depth. Again, how injured were they last year? They had pretty much a fully intact offensive line. Javonte Williams played the whole season.
Never had a tight end, which hurt him.
Again, I'm going to repeat something that was said to me in the locker room by a player. Do not be fooled by Greg Dulcich that if he was in there, things would have been radically different. It would not have been.
Might not have been radically different, but it would have been different. He's clearly a better playmaker than any of the other tight ends they had. We've seen that.
He has the talent. I don't know if he has the processor. And I was told he doesn't.
Well, I've seen him
make, but he has talent.
I've seen him make pretty good plays at the NFL level. He just is, he's not on the field. So it's Greg Dulcich, to me, is pie in the sky until it's served. I mean, we don't see him. But
even when you do, he has a difficult time grasping things. But he has talent. I mean, what does Sean Payton talk about all the time? And I agree with him. With a quarterback, I'd rather have processor over elite talent. I'd rather have both.
Of course you would.
But processor is a big deal. And when you talk about the tight end position, there's a lot of blocking that's involved.
Yeah.
mainly blocking.
Well,
that's involved.
Plus, you're being lined up in more places than any other player on the field.
Right.
You're wide. You're in the slot. You can be in the backfield.
I mean, motion. You can make the case that outside of quarterback on offense, you need the highest acumen at tight end because you are asked to do so many different things.
It was a real problem for them last year.
I agree. Coming up after the break, Final Four is set. UConn, Alabama, Purdue, North Carolina State. Which team do you like in each matchup? And can any of the three remaining teams honestly hang with UConn? That's next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman and Hurdle. Watch us, MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman on Wednesday. Buy and build. Having an auction featuring cabinet sets, sinks, fixtures, carpeting, hardwood flooring, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Roller Auctions. Get what you want at the price you want. Go to rollerauction.com/MHS. And they'll send you notifications on their latest auctions.
Final Four is set. UConn against Alabama in the late game. First game tipping it off on Saturday. Purdue against North Carolina State. Let's just start with this. Can any of these teams hang with UConn?
No. Purdue has a chance to some degree, but outside of their center, they just don't match up favorably. UConn has players all over the court. And they have depth. So, to me, it's UConn. Alabama's streaky, and as such, they're an interesting team. I don't see North Carolina State as a factor. They're 9.5-point underdogs against Purdue. But you know what?
But let me ask.
They've won 9 straight games, and they've beaten Duke twice, North Carolina, and Marquette during that stretch.
I'll say this about North Carolina State. When you look at arguably the two biggest upsets in NCAA history over the last 50 years or so, it was North Carolina State beating Houston in 1983. That was a 32-team field, though.
Right.
Okay. And then you have Villanova beating Georgetown in, what was it, 1985?
Yeah, 85, the year that the tournament expanded.
If North Carolina State wins, I think it'll be the – if they win the whole thing, specifically if they beat UConn, it'll be the biggest upset in NCAA tournament history. For this reason, North Carolina State, unlike, I believe, Villanova, and unlike the North Carolina State team in 1983, they had to win their conference tournament just to get in.
Yeah. Jim Boeheim said during the first week of the NCAA tournament, this is a team that's just lucky to be here. And he's right. I mean, he was right. I didn't disagree with him at all. North Carolina State was a cute story getting through the ACC. But the fact that they're here in the Final Four right now, pretty damned interesting.
They own Duke.
Yes, they did. They did.
So when you look at Purdue and North Carolina State, Purdue is a 9.5-point favorite. Would you bet on the better team or the hot team?
I think it'll be closer. I'll take the points in North Carolina State.
Because a team that's trending, a team that is suddenly feeling good about themselves, do not underestimate that, because that falls under the category of intangibles. That's not something you see in a box score.
Right. Agreed. I think it's interesting that you've got teams that all run through their centers. We always talk about guards in the NCAA tournament. It's a guard tournament. This has kind of been a centers tournament. You've got great post players still playing in this tournament. And, North Carolina State. Who can't be pulling for North Carolina State at this point, right?
Right.
I mean, it's a great story. And you like the personalities, everything that's involved. But Purdue's a good story, too.
I think the coolest part about Purdue going to the Final Four was Zach Eadie giving a piece of the net to Gene Katie.
It was so cool.
Yep.
It was really and how cool that you're tuned in enough to know that that's a moment that needs to be given.
Well,
I thought it was great.
Well, here's the thing. If you play at Purdue, Gene Katie's name is plastered all over the place in West Lafayette.
Never got to a Final Four.
No.
Stunning. As good a coach as Gene Katie was, never got to a Final Four. Stunning.
Indiana was always the best team in that state.
Well, yeah.
And I say that's
but Purdue was pretty flip. They had some teams. They weren't as consistent as Indiana, but they had some peaks.
They were never, and for any stretch, better than Indiana when Bob Knight coached that team.
Right. I would agree with that.
I mean, if you think about Indiana's trajectory from when Bob Knight got there, they won a title every 5 years, mm-hmm. 5 or 6 years. I mean, you could make the case that if you entered school in Bloomington from 1975 through 1990, there was a very good chance you were going to see a national championship.
Right.
1976, 1981, 1987. I was a part of one of them. I mean, if you got there in 1982 and then graduated in 1986, yes, you missed one. Very similar to how do you know Don Mattingly's career? He played from 1982 to 1995. How do I know that? They won a World Series the year before he got there, and they won a World Series the year after he left.
Yep. One of the best players to have not won a World Series, right? Certainly the best Yankee.
During that time frame.
Well, sir, might be the best Yankee ever to not win a World Series.
Oh, yeah.
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 Don Mattingly was a stone-cold hitter.
Yeah. Really. Okay, UConn wins.
Yeah.
They'll be the first team to go back-to-back since Florida did it in 2006, 2007. And only two other schools have done that over the last 60 years. Duke and UCLA. I don't think anybody would call Florida a dynasty. Clearly UCLA, probably Duke. Would you call UConn a, I know it's only two in a row.
That's my rub.
But it's so rare.
Yes, it is. But I don't think it's dynastic. Duke did it back-to-back, but also has won. How many has Krzyzewski won? Six?
But then they've never been a dynasty because it's not like they won, I don't believe, 3 in 4 years, 3 in 5 years. Maybe they did.
It depends.
Did they win 3 in 5 years?
Yes.
Yes.
Coach K is five also.
Five, yeah, not six. So, I mean...
Wait, they won 3 in 5 years or Krzyzewski's won five?
3 in 5 years.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, then you can call that dynasty.
I think so, right?
And clearly one was without Leitner. It's 5 years, because he wasn't there 5 years.
I mean, with... I would say Mike Krzyzewski is the face of college coaching in my generation.
Yeah, no question.
Mike Krzyzewski.
Right.
And...
Danny Hurley instantly become a top 10 coach of all time? Instantaneously. I mean, again, over the last 60 years, only three coaches have done this.
Well, you don't have that many that have won three. I mean, you only have, what, five or six that have won three? So Knight, Self, Wooden, Krzyzewski. There aren't many that have won three.
Right.
There's a pretty good handful that have won two, mm-hmm. but there aren't.
But not back to
but
back.
But not back to back.
Nope.
You're exactly right. I don't know about top 10, but he certainly, Is there a better coach in college basketball right now?
Nope.
So there you go. That's good enough for me at this point.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
The Rockies lost 3-4 in Arizona to open up the 2024 season. And we'll talk about the Denver Pioneers heading to the Frozen Four for the fifth time in the last 8 years. That's next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports. Forget about it.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman on Wednesday. Buy and Build, having an auction featuring cabinet sets, sinks, fixtures, carpeting, hardwood, flooring, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Alrighty, guys, just in case you missed it, the Denver Pioneers hockey team is heading to the Frozen Four for the fifth time in the last 8 years with their 2-1 win over Cornell in the regional final. A goaltender, Matt Davis, was big again with 24 saves, and the Pios will play Boston University in the Frozen Four semifinals on Thursday, April 11th in St. Paul, Minnesota. Thoughts on DU winning the regional championship and moving on to the national semifinals?
I thought it was a really gutsy effort. First of all, playing nearly 100 minutes of hockey in the opening game against UMass, then coming back and kind of dispatching and exercising a demon from a year ago, as Cornell was the team that eliminated them from postseason play. This Frozen Four is mathematically one of the best that you could ever put together, just from a standpoint of their history. When you consider that Michigan and DU both have 9 national championships, and Boston College and BU have won like 5 apiece.
Right.
That's, I think, my remedial math tells me that's 28 national championships between these 4 teams. Yikes.
That's the equivalent of having a Final Four of North Carolina, Duke, UCLA, and Kentucky.
Yep. Well said. Think about it.
All blue bloods.
It is all blue. Wow.
All right, just in case you missed it, in their opening series of the season, Rockies lost 3-4 to the Diamondbacks with the lone win coming on Saturday night, 9-4. Chris Bryant has started the season 0-10 at the plate with 7 strikeouts. He didn't play in yesterday's loss. The Rockies traveled to Chicago to play a 3-game series with the Cubs starting today, although the weather there looks pretty rough all week.
That's good.
Yeah. rain and snow all week. What are your impressions from the series against Arizona?
You can't lose if you don't play.
This series went about the way I kind of figured it would. I figured that maybe they'd get a win. And I'll tell you one thing that did surprise me was 3 errors yesterday. This is not a team. This is a team that has been top 10 defensively. So that was a bit of a surprise. 2 unearned runs. Feltner actually pitched okay after the first inning, gave up 3 in the first, and then was untouched through the next 4 before. But they lose 5-1, and they, in the 3 losses, they've scored about 1.6 or 7 runs a game. That's an issue. So off to a 1-3 start. To me, they're right on target, aren't they? I mean, really?
This is what you say about bad baseball teams. They find ways to lose.
Sure.
And this was one of those games they found a way to lose.
Well said.
Now, it's not to say that they were in it. They did lose 5-1. They only scored a run. So
right.
just for fun, let's just dive into the numbers quickly. And those numbers say to me, because it's all about earned runs, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
How many earned runs? Well, the Rockies, well, here. The
D-backs had 3 earned runs.
Right.
The game really turned on a bases-loaded situation with one out in about, I think it was the 5th, and they were down 3-1, and they couldn't get a run off. So
I'll tell you what I don't understand. How does Tovar start the season batting about 7th, and yesterday he led off?
Moving people around, man. Trying to find the right.
He's the new star of your team.
Yep.
And he was batting that low in the lineup. Why?
Strikes out a lot.
Oh. Yeah. I won't disagree with that. Yeah,
he does.
Well, if he strikes out a lot, why is he leading off?
Well, I mean, you're playing with your lineup early in the season.
Why are you playing with your lineup early? Well, you know why you're playing with your lineup? Because you don't know what your lineup really looks like after all those spring training games. You shouldn't be playing with your lineup. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He batted 7th in the game in which they lost 7-3. In the game that they won, let's see where he hit in the lineup. Oh, yeah, he was back down there again. So they decided to have him lead off?
Well, I'm not sure about the righty-lefty, you know, element of it, too. But I do know this. Chris Bryant wasn't in the lineup yesterday. They're getting nothing out of their 3-hole right now. So, I mean, this is what the Rockies are going to be. They'll win a game here. They'll win a game there. They might win a series here or there. But by and large, they're going to lose 3 out of 4 in a 4-game series and 2 out of 3 in a 3-game series.
Brendan Rodgers, 6 strikeouts, hitting 118. His on-base percentage, by the way, mirrors that, 118. Nolan Jones, a lot of hope for him, right? Still early, I get it. 6 strikeouts, batting 125. The only guy hitting is Ryan McMahon.
Right.
Brenton Doyle, hitting 308. That's good.
He had an error yesterday.
5 Ks, though.
God, just, dude, catch the damn ball. You're a gold glover. Right?
Yeah, the one Nolan Jones dropped, too, that was a huge
one. Yeah, Nolan, yeah, he's still a work in progress.
All right, just in case you missed it, the season for the Colorado women's basketball team came to an end on Saturday in the Sweet 16 as the Lady Buffs fell to Iowa 89-68. Caitlin Clark, 29 points and 15 assists for the Hawkeyes, who will play LSU tonight in a rematch of last year's national championship game. So CU is eliminated by Iowa for the second straight season. What are your thoughts on the season for Colorado, which started out promising and then ends here in the Sweet 16?
A Sweet 16 is a Sweet 16. Having said that, that's this team's, at this point, ceiling.
Yes.
That's the problem.
They weren't going to beat Iowa.
No.
It was a matchup they weren't going to win.
They were totally and decisively overmatched in that matchup. Having said that, Caitlin Clark is bona fide, as if that's new ground to be, you know. And this game tonight is must watch. I think
for Iowa to win tonight, I think the key thing to watch is how many assists does Caitlin Clark have? If she has 8 or more, I think they win.
Do you?
If she has 8 or less, I don't think they win. You know she's going to score.
But you've got 2 trash talkers in Reese and Clark that are going to be just chirping at each other. If the game is played well, it will be a lot of fun to watch. And in other words, I need my 2 stars to come through. They got to play well in this game. But I think it's a game worth tuning in to, and I think it will do really good ratings.
The ratings are going to be really high.
I think they will be very high.
That was Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it. They have a whole staff set up to help you redesign an entire kitchen. A big box store cannot do that. A big box store doesn't have the same quality of appliances either. When it comes to pricing, go to their clearance center. They have scratch and ding stuff, meaning you might have a scratch on it. They knock it down hundreds of dollars. You're not going to do better than that, especially when you go to a big box store. Mountain High Appliance, best in town. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, the Avs and Nuggets, not surprisingly, are in the playoffs. We knew that was going to happen, but they clinch over the weekend. We will start it off with the Nuggets. After what happened on Friday, was it at all surprising that, ironically, with the same lineup, they worked over a really good team that's really good defensively? Remember, Michael Malone said, we didn't come ready to play against Minnesota. Does this Nuggets team look like what we saw yesterday when they are ready to play, even without Jamal Murray? That's next.